like to read just three short passages from the Bible. The first is in the Epistle to the Romans, and it's in chapter 5. And it's on Bible I'm reading from is page 1354. I'd like to start at verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commends his love to us in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. For if, being enemies, we have been reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much rather, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in the power of his life. Then in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16, that's page 1327, just want to read the last clause of verse 30. What must I do that I may be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. And finally, back in the Epistles to the Romans again, in chapter 10, page 1361, the end of verse 8. The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. Good to see you all here tonight. Maybe it's just a thing that you do on a Sunday night. You come to hear the gospel preached. But I would like you to know that God has his eye upon you, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to save you. We're living in a very dark world, but it's wonderful to be able to tell you some good news. Because God's gospel, his glad tidings, is good news. God's glad tidings, some of us were reading in the Bible this afternoon, God's glad tidings concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's who I want to speak to you tonight. Think of where we read in the first passage that God commends his love to us. Do you know God? Or is he just someone who is spoken of that you have no idea who he is? I can tell you tonight that God is the one who has created you. He's given you life. He's let you come into this world and walk in this world. And he loves you. People have a strange idea. They say, if there was a God, why would he let all these terrible things happen? Why doesn't God intervene? Well, I can tell you, my dear hearer, that God has intervened. He has come in. He has given his own Son, Jesus. And he has died. God gave his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Maybe you have had a hard life. Maybe things haven't worked out as the way you thought they might. God has had his eye upon you in your life. And he would reach out to you tonight in the preaching of his word, that you might come to a conviction that you need a Saviour. So it says he commends his love to us. God is commending his love. God is not a hard God. He's not a harsh God. You say, why? Why is everything so wrong in my life? Why doesn't anything go right? Why am I like I am? I can tell you, my friend, that God loves you. The reason that there are problems in this world, the things that are wrong, is because of sin and because of man's disobedience. You might say to me, what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. It means you doing your own will, what you want to do, and not what God wants to do. It tells us later in where we read that by one man, sin entered into this world, and by sin, death. You know, that's how we know that we're all sinners. I can speak as a sinner. You are a sinner. How do we know? Because we all know that at some point, we have to face death. That's God's judgment against sin. And it came into the world right at the beginning of Genesis. You can read about it in Genesis 3. How sin entered into this world because God had created Adam and Eve. He put them in the Garden of Eden. And he said, you can do anything, you eat any tree you like, but there's one fruit of the tree you must not eat. And that is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know, Satan, the devil, our adversary, was active in that garden. And he deceived Eve. And he told Eve that tree, you eat of that tree. God doesn't want you to eat it because you'll become like God. You'll know good and evil. You become as God. And so Eve was deceived, and she took of that tree, the fruit of that tree, and she ate it. Whether it was an apple, I don't know, but whatever the fruit was, it looked good to her eyes. She lusted after it, and she ate of the fruit, and she gave to Adam, her husband, and he ate too. And their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked. When God came down at the end of the day to commune with Adam and Eve in the garden, they hid from him because they realized that they disobeyed what he said. And they told God that they were naked. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I said you shouldn't?" And they were convicted that they had disobeyed God. And that, my friend, is how sin entered into the world. And the judgment of death has passed upon them, as it's passed upon every person who's ever lived on this earth. And we know that at the end of our days, we have to face death. Well, God doesn't wish you to be the end of the story. He doesn't just want you to die. God wants to bring you into life. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you eternal life. A life where there's no sin attached to. And that can be found tonight. You can have peace with God tonight through the preaching of his word and through the blessed finished work of our Lord Jesus. So God saw the problem. He knew the problem. God wasn't taken by surprise. He wanted to express his great heart of love. We might know God as a judge, but he wants you to know him as a loving God. His love is so much. He's given all that he could give that you might be blessed. So it says he commends his love to us. And to us that while we being still sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel preaching is about Jesus, and it's about his death. And the death of Jesus is unique because he is the only person who has never sinned. He was not subject to death. He was perfect. He was holy. He never transgressed the commandment of God. God's son came to this earth. He was born into the manger. He grew up as a boy. He never disobeyed. He never told lies. He never had evil thoughts. All these things are the sins that we do. We tell untruths. We think bad things. Never was the same with Jesus. He was perfect. He was holy. He was undefiled. The only person who's ever walked this earth like that. And my friend, he walked on this earth as a holy, perfect man. But he came here to die. He came here to be a sacrifice for you, my friend, for your sins. God was prepared to give his son, because when God is offended, there has to be a sacrifice made that he might be appeased. And God can't forgive. He can't just forget. He can't forget the fact that you've sinned. He can't just wipe it away. There had to be a price paid. And that price was paid by Jesus when he died on the cross. We go back 2,000 years ago, nearly in this world, when Jesus was on this earth. Many here will know the story of what happened to Jesus at Calvary's cross, where he was taken by men who hated him. It says in the Bible, "They hated me without a cause." And they took Jesus and they crucified him. The wickedness of man's heart. They hated the perfect goodness that they saw in Jesus. And they took him and they crucified him. And they put him on a cross. God allowed his son to be treated in such a violent, terrible way. You think of crucifixion, what a terrible death it was. Had Jesus done anything worthy of death? No, but he was prepared to lay down his life that you, my friend, might be blessed, that you might be forgiven of your sins. Each of us are sinners. We're all sinners. We've committed offence against God, and we need a saviour. And Jesus is the saviour of God's provision. So he says, "We being still sinners, Christ died for us." That sacrifice that was made on Calvary's cross all those years ago is a sacrifice that was made for sin, that God's judgment might be appeased. So it says, it goes on to say, that we might shall be saved by him from wrath. There is judgment that is coming upon this world. You might laugh and mock about it. You say, "Don't believe it." You don't think that things have to be put right on this world. Think of the wickedness, the unrighteousness that there is. Do you not think that God's going to have to say to this? He's not judging the world at the present time, because he's reaching out in love. He's appealing to his creatures, to men, women and children, to us all in his love, that we might turn to him and ask for forgiveness for our sins. And he can do so because of what Jesus did on the cross all those years ago. It says, "We having been now justified it by the power of his blood." The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross involved the shedding of his precious blood. That is the basis that God can come out to men, because Jesus died. He took the judgment of God upon himself in those hours on the cross. He took the the righteous judgment of God. He hates sin. He can't have it in his presence. God poured out that judgment upon the head of Jesus on the cross. And at the end of those 3 hours, Jesus could say, "It is finished. Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit." He gave up his life and he died. And then a soldier standing by pierced the side of Jesus, and out flowed the blood of Jesus. And my friend, that is the basis that God is able to forgive sin, because the blood of a righteous, a holy, spotless man was shed on that cross. And it's by the blood of Jesus you can have peace with God tonight. Peace has been made, the Apostle Paul says, by the blood of his cross. What a moment that was, you know. Think of the Father's heart and seeing his own Son, the Son who he loved, being made a sacrifice, hanging on a cross, people mocking and jeering and sneering and spitting at him. Oh, they hated Jesus, but the love of God shines out in the cross. His love for sinners, his love for men, his love for men, women and children, all of us. God's eye is upon you. He wants to save you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you life. But you know, if you don't respond to the gospel, if you say, "I don't want it, it's not for me, there's nothing else." There's many religions in this world, but there's no religion that can deal with the matter of your sins. It's only Jesus and the finished work he did on the cross that can settle the matter of your sins. You can be forgiven. You say, "Well, I'm not a very bad sinner." It doesn't matter whether you're big or small, good or bad, or little white lies or big lies. You're all sinners in the sight of God, and you need a Saviour. And God is able to forgive anybody who comes to him tonight and asks in repentance to forgive them of their sins. So he says, "Peace has been made by the blood of his cross, having now been justified in the power of his blood," or by his blood. What does that mean, being justified? It means being made righteous before God. You can be righteous before God. You can never do that yourself, you know. You can never come to God with your own righteousness. The Bible tells us our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They don't mean anything to God. What we might think are good works doesn't mean anything to God. It's by the righteousness that is made by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Now, there are some people in this world who've done some terrible acts and things. But you know, even if people have murdered, they can't be forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. How great the sin, it can be forgiven because Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. That is the power that's available in the blood of Jesus. Oh, have we got an appreciation in our hearts tonight of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin? So don't think you're too bad. Don't think you can't be forgiven. And certainly don't think you're too good. Because, my friend, everybody needs saving. We all need the precious blood of Jesus. And so we shall be saved in the power of his blood. And we shall be saved by him from wrath. Yes, the wrath that is to come upon this world. But the wrath that's to come upon unbelievers. If you reject God's message in the glad tidings, if you turn your back on the message tonight, then there's no other way of salvation. There's no other way of peace. You will have to face one day the judgment of God. Those that disobey God's word will be cast into hell. And hell was not a place made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. God has no intention of any living person going to hell. But they will go there if they refuse God's message in the glad tidings. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you a purpose in your life. You know, there's so many people in this world who are aimless. They've no idea where they're going or what the end's going to be. But you know, the believer in Jesus has a certain path ahead of them. They know where they're going. They know the one whom they believe. You know, the Apostle Paul who wrote this, he was a religious zealot, and he hated Christ, hated the name of Jesus, and he hated Christians. And his mission in life was to destroy Christians. And he walked about this earth committing them up to be put to death and to be imprisoned. And one day he was walking from Jerusalem to Damascus with letters in his hand to convict Christians and to take them prisoner and take them back to Jerusalem where they were to be punished. And now on that day, the Lord met him. You know, that's what happens in our lives. Suddenly, God speaks to us. And he spoke to Paul on that Damascus road. And he opened his eyes. He says, he heard a voice and a light above the brightness of the sun. And he struck him down. He said, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Well, may God speak to you tonight. If you've never heard his voice, may you hear him tonight. God is speaking through the gospel, through the glad tidings. I don't know who he's speaking to in this room. I don't know where you stand with God. Maybe everyone here is a Christian. They are believers, but I don't know that. God knows. He knows your heart. He knows all about your life. I don't need to know about all your life. I don't need to know what you've done. I have enough problems of my own, enough sins I've committed. But God knows about you, and he wants to save you, and he wants to bless you, and he can do so. It's through the power of the glad tidings. It's a wonderful message we have to preach, you know. And I want you to be convicted in your heart that you need Jesus and you need a Saviour. There's no one else that can save you, only Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. And he's given himself for you. He died on that cross to save you. You say, I'm not worthy of it. No, I'm not worthy of it either. None of us are worthy to be saved. We feel our wretchedness. We feel how bad we are. And yet God commends his love to us. That love that gave Jesus is the love that's towards you tonight. He wants to break down that hard heart of yours and reach in there. And he wants to change your heart and to change your life so that you, my friend, might become a believer in Jesus and have this hope that I'm speaking about. And you might have an object for your life here awaiting the call to go to be with Jesus in heaven. You know, that's a real, heaven is a real place. It's where Jesus is tonight. Yes, he died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried. He lay in the grave for 3 days and three nights. And on the third day, he rose again. So I'm not speaking about someone who's dead. I'm speaking about someone who's living. Risen from amongst the dead. He's a glorified Saviour in heaven tonight, waiting to save whoever calls upon him. And so this man in Acts 16, he says, what must I do to be saved? That's a natural reaction when you're convicted of your sin. What can I do about it? What did Paul say? Paul was in prison there as a Christian. He'd been put in prison by this jailer. This jailer had beaten him, and he hurled him into the inner prison, put his feet in stocks, and he says to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Did Paul say, well, you've got to make amends for what you've done to me? No, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's my message to you tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Don't believe in all these other theories that men have. Believe in Jesus and a living person. Christianity is about a person. It's about a man in the glory. And it's a man who wants to be your Saviour. He wants to save you from your sins. So what do you have to do to believe? You have to repent. Repent towards God and have faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. How simple, isn't it? If anybody can do it, you know. We don't have to become a Christian. You don't have to do a university course, you know. You don't have to study for years and end. To become a Christian, all you have to do is turn to God in repentance and ask Jesus to be your Saviour. And whosoever believeth on, call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on this precious name? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is my Saviour. And soon everyone will know the name of Jesus. His glory is going to fill the whole earth. He's coming back, you know. He's coming back to claim his kingdom. He said that, you know, when he was here, he was being carried up into heaven the day of his ascension. You can read of it at the end of Luke's gospel. He was carried up into heaven. And he said he was going to come again with great power and glory and all his saints with him. You say that's a fantasy. It's not a fantasy, friend. It's the truth. Jesus is coming again. He's coming first to take those that love him to be with himself. And then he's coming here to reign. You know, you look at the state of the world today and you think of the immense problems that there are, the complex problems, and none of the politicians can solve them. They can't sort it out. It's too great a problem for them. But when Jesus comes, he's going to reign. He says the government of the world will be upon his shoulder. What a hope we have as believers, don't we? We don't have to be too concerned about the politics of this world. We have to be concerned about the souls of men. We have to be concerned about the way that the enemy, the devil, is robbing men of the gain of the gospel. And we have to preach the gospel in all its power and conviction and tell them the wonderful news of Jesus, God's glad tidings. May he be your Saviour tonight. May you know what it is. So it says in Romans 10, it says, that man said, what must I do to be saved? In Romans 10, it says, the word of faith which we preach. So that means it's something you have to do. You have to trust. Trust God. That's what faith is. You trust God. You take him at his word. That's what Abraham did. It says God, he believed. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So you believe God's word and you can be counted righteous. How simple, isn't it? And yet how hard it seems to be. You take God at his word. And it says, so the word of faith which we preach, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. Have you confessed the name of Jesus? Have you said, yes, he's my Lord? Is he your Lord? Challenge my own heart, all of our hearts here today. Have we really taken the name of Jesus to be our Saviour and our Lord? And believe in thy heart that God has raised him from amongst the dead. That's what God did. He loved to raise his son from the dead, raised by the glory of the Father. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness. It's in your heart and it's with your mouth. And you have your heart changed, my friend. Those dark hearts that we have full of sin can be full of Christ and full of his glory. And as you believe in Jesus, God will give you of his Holy Spirit, that his Spirit may fill your heart and fill your life. You have a new object for your life here. No, there's no diversion. It's just Jesus ahead of you and his glory. May we know what it is to take up our cross and follow Jesus, to walk in the path of faith here, awaiting our Saviour. Be sure of where we are tonight. Don't go out of that door unsaved. Don't go out of there thinking, don't want it. It's not for me. Who knows what might happen in our lives tomorrow or even later today. Now is a well-accepted time. Now is a day of salvation. Not tomorrow. I can't promise you another day. But we have now to put our faith and trust in Jesus. May each of us have this wonderful living hope in our hearts, awaiting the call from Christ from heaven. And may we know what it is to be truly saved for his name's sake.
Amen.